Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher. I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
Hello, how's it going?
Imagine talking back like inwards. No, I'm not gonna do that.
I'm like a monster.
How's it going, you alright?
How's it going? Welcome to episode 141 of the Stala podcast.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Cheers. It's good to be here.
So tell me this. How are you keeping?
Tell me this and tell me no more.
Is it a Go Loud original?
It absolutely is a Go Loud original.
Yeah.
And it is original. And it is Go Loud. And it can be loud if you play it loud.
I like that.
What episode number are we at now?
141.
140 fucking one. Holy lantern of the divine Lord above.
141 weeks of podcasting.
Isn't that mad? Like, when you actually think about it, that is a bit mad.
And the rest.
I don't think we've missed a week.
We have had Terrence in here, remember?
1 week, yeah. Yeah, once.
I haven't missed a week.
Have you not?
No. I had COVID.
You did.
But I still did it.
We did it remotely.
Also, while I have you there.
What?
The live show is coming up.
That's right, yeah.
Fast approaching.
Just sell a few tickets.
The 6th of April. I sold a couple of tickets for 100 quid a piece. Throwing a few.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, like, that's 150 then.
That's nice.
But if you don't want to get them at me for that price, you can get them on Ticketmaster for the standard price still.
35 quid, roughly.
For now.
There might be someone, like, you know, tickets will be sold out pretty soon. And if you do want to go to the show, you probably will have to pay above the odds from Ticketmaster 69 on adverts. I have to get that Ticketmaster 69 handle now.
Yeah. Might change my name on adverts to that. When you change your name on adverts, you can't just, like, go onto it and edit your name. You have to, like, email them.
Just make another account.
Oh no, I've got the good ratings.
Yeah, you don't want
to lose the good ratings.
The positive feedback.
Yeah. No negatives there now. Lovely fella. Great to deal with.
Not a time waster.
No fucking time wasting with this fella.
I love when people put that in the ads. Like, no time wasters, please. Like, oh damn, I was going to waste that time.
Oh, but literally said, just about to waste your time.
Shit. fuck it. I'll waste someone else's time then. Who didn't put it in their ad?
There is time wasters out there though. Like that. I just throw out offers that are just like really, really below the asking price. And you're like, nah.
Me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I had more time on my hands, I'd waste other people's time. For sure.
Did I talk about the door handles in my gaff to you?
Ah, we were talking about it outside.
Outside, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were changing your door handles in your apartment.
Yeah. Because they were becoming loose and we just needed to change them. Like, one of the door handles actually broke off. I was like, Grant, just go buy door handles, screw them out, put them on.
Most people would be reluctant to invest in a property that they're just renting and they just get their landlord to do that.
Yeah.
You're like increasing value to someone else's gaff.
It's my gaff. I'm keeping it.
I'm not leaving.
Oh, the handles will come with me when I'm leaving.
I would
go on to the new gaff.
Take them.
They're my handles, you mad thing.
Yeah.
Get your own.
Yours are in the shed.
They weren't that expensive, just like quick fix needed them, like. And we went home and screwed off the old ones and went to put the new ones on and they didn't fit in the door. So the door isn't wide enough to fit the new handles because the spindle is far bigger than the previous one.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just like hanging off with two big gaps in between. So I said to myself, well, the spindles off the old one would fit it because that worked. Like, that's why they were there, because they worked. And that didn't fit either.
Why not?
The way the door handles are, I need a smaller spindle, like, at this
stage. When you say spindle,
yeah,
are you just making that word up?
That's what it's called.
Is it called a spindle?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Which is the bar that goes in between the doors.
Because I should have said the bar, but I wanted to be all professional.
No, I just thought, are you just making up a word?
So it didn't fit. And then I went and bought smaller spindles.
Okay.
A couple of inches smaller that definitely fit. And these fit.
Oh, right. Great.
But then what happened was the holes in the door where you put the fucking
spindle through.
The spindle through. Well, like the part that's on the handle, the circular bit that you're moving. You know, the bit that a handyman would know.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It didn't fit right. There's a hole that you've pushed the handle through and that didn't fit, so I had to make the hole bigger. So I had to get a end of a fucking drill and drill a bigger hole with like a piece on the end of the power drill.
This sounds like you're wrecking someone's gaff.
Man, there's two door handles up and this is a week ago. There's two door handles up, right? And then Amy's like, will we just paint the doors as well while we're here? Went out, got a bucket of paint.
No.
painting the doors, painting the skirtings. Didn't have enough paint, have to get more paint. Two handles on the fucking doors, all spindled out. Have to go onto Amazon, order more spindles. Fuck's sake, like, it's a massive operation. It should be a small operation.
It should be the really handles on a door. I don't even know how you got
that. Is like, that is all it.
Doors are generic sizes for a, like, they're specifically like,
well,
the
way his fucking handles didn't fit and I needed to maneuver everything. I'm add more money on to buy fucking spindles,
yeah,
and shit like that.
Well, I'm in a similar boat in the sense that I thought I took on a simple task of turning my bike into an electric bike. Remember I was telling you that I bought something from Germany and it was €150 and I was like, it's great if you order from Germany, it's a lot cheaper because there's low taxes on electric bikes and the components that come with it. Well, that didn't include the fucking battery. So that's £150 without the battery.
It's always a catch.
And you know how much a bike battery is? You're looking at about £300 for the bike battery. I'm fucking raging because you need specific tools as well. Because, you know, bikes, like, it's not all Allen keys fit them and they're all awkward tools that you need. And I need to take the spindle off the pedal.
But there's a spindle on them.
There's a spindle on a fucking pedal.
Spindle on fucking everything.
I can't get that off. So I'm going to have to fucking pay somebody to just do it in the end. So I'm about £450. No, and I bought tools. So £500 in the hole with this fucking electric bike. £500 in the hole. And the thing's like not even... It's still in the box, really.
See, what you did there with that bike is what you do with a lot of things. You researched or you took on board information to a point. And then you just stop paying attention. And you choose not to explore that anymore. And
are you
make a grand
the
statement.
Type of person that just sees one thing and says, yeah, I'll just get that. I'm not bothered looking anymore.
Yeah. Well, you're saying stuff that's cutting really close to the bone right now, to be honest, because I bought a fucking food truck, lads. And
hi.
The food truck has been bought.
What?
But I'm like, we're so deep into it now and there's no turning back and I feel like I've made a big mistake.
No! You bought the food truck?
Yeah, I bought a food truck and so there's a guy...
Oh my God.
There's a guy... Oh, okay, where the fuck do I even start with this?
Take all the time you need here, Joe.
Right. There's a guy called Shawnee. And he has a company and it's called Street School. And what he does is he converts food containers. He'll sell you a food container, he'll make it bespoke and he'll wrap it and it'll be for you. But they all look the same. And for what I was trying to do, originally I wanted a food truck to make a statement, but that comes with its own set of headaches. You need VRT, you need specific licenses, you need certain NCTs, you need different, it's very heavily regulated, so it's much easier to get a container or a trailer. But we wanted something big and a bit bold and a statement, like. So we went out to Wexford and there was this person selling a food trailer and I said, this is perfect. And so we done the awkward thing of haggling. So she came in £20,000 and I'm like, right, okay, it's big, it has everything in it, this is what we want, we just need to wrap it and it's ready to go. And so we started haggling and I went in at like £16,000. And I do this awkward thing where I'm like, oh, like, and I actually say that and I do that. I kind of crease up and I'm like, oh, I hate doing this. £16,000. Oh. And then she's like, oh, I don't know. That's way below like asking price. And Moira was there with us as well. And she was digging her heels in. It was just really, really awkward trying to haggle to get money off. It's just really awkward. And we've bought this food trailer now. And we realised that it's way too heavy for us to pull it. So it's still sitting in the whole garden. We own a fuel truck, it's still sitting in the whole garden, and we don't have a vehicle that's big enough to tow it.
So now you need a vehicle.
So we wanted a big fuel trailer to make a statement, but I can't fucking bring it anywhere. So
that's
now, like,
too big.
I'm going to need to get like a vehicle to tow the thing.
A fucking van.
A van. Like a Range Rover. Like a 2.5, 2.6 litre vehicle. And then I'm going to need to wrap it. So then your man from Street School, like, we kind of just went out and done our own shopping and then we sent that to your man from Street School and we were like, can you do anything with this? And he said, let me just get it here. He was just like, oh wow, that's a mad looking thing. I just want to
find it. Can I see a photo of it?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's a mad looking thing.
Yeah, we said, we went and bought a food trailer. It's pretty boxy. And he goes, that's a random trailer, lads. She'd be heavy.
Can we see it?
Yeah, this is her.
Let's see. Wow.
That looks like a fucking building.
Yeah.
You have to move a building.
It's a restaurant on wheels.
Yeah, it's big. It's kind of unnecessarily big because we do not need anything that size.
And you've bought this with no comeback.
So we've bought it And another thing that we didn't take into account is you need to fucking park it somewhere. It's not fitting in my garden. That's way too big to fit into my driveway. Like, you're not getting that up there.
Is there a certain size that you have to meet as well at different venues that maybe that's too big to put in, or?
Well, yeah. It might be too big for what people are looking for.
Would it be the same size as the chipper van thing in the rugby series we done?
It would be bigger than that. It'd be bigger than that, yeah.
The one in this rugby thing is pretty big.
It's big, but that's a vehicle though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That, so yeah, that's a fucking, yeah.
So you're sitting in the front like you
have. That would have been handier.
It's a lot narrower. You could fit that in my garden, but you can't fit this bad boy in the garden. So
you have no idea now where this is going to go?
No. And we were looking around where I'm from. So there's a place that rents spaces. They rent. Have you ever heard of ghost offices, or what are they called? Virtual offices. So American companies will rent a virtual office in Ireland, but they don't actually work here. So all of the post can come here, but they're not actually based here.
No, the just post, like, their post and their low tax bill.
And exactly. But this company, because they have so many companies registered at that building, they have loads of parking spaces that they're not using. But they have it advertised as like parking for commercial vehicles. And they have it advertised like, this is really safe. This is a really safe space to park your stuff. So we went to check it out the other day. It was like, it's a car park space in a business park with like one of these little flip up things. Like it barely fit a car. And we were like, what the fuck are you trying? And they were charging like £150 a month to park your car there. And I was like, fuck off. And yeah.
I've seen fuel trucks that size placed in car parks. Like, obviously that's the base where they're selling the stuff. Like, is there not like could you not get that space and then just put it there?
Well, we don't want to be based in one place.
You might have to be.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be on the go all the time. Like, we want to be going to events and festivals and sporting events and music events. And
I think a way around it would be to, it's going to cost more money, but have that as a base somewhere and leave it there and sell it from that location, and then have a smaller fuel truck that you can drag around to go to these places.
I think I'll just have to get a van. I think I'll just have to get a vehicle to pull it.
Fair.
And find somewhere that I can park it up, somewhere safe and nearby, hopefully. Because with a trailer, you can just fucking rob it. You can just take it. It's
can't
a trailer. Well, if you had a big enough car, you could just bleed in. No, you can't, because there's a lock on it. Like, but if you can get that lock off it, then you can just bleed and tow it away.
Is that fully kitted?
That's fully kitted, yeah. It has everything.
Everything's all.
Would you cook up in that, like, today?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So let's break this down for a second. How much was the truck in the end?
We got it for, do you know what happened? We got to a stage where it was like 17.5 grand,
mm-hmm.
and we settled on it. We didn't shake, but we kind of said, she said, there's another guy coming at 3 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock. There's another guy coming at 3 o'clock. If he doesn't take it, well then I'll give it to you for 17.5. I was like, yeah, great. And then we were on our way out, and this 24 BMW Jeep that could pull this fucking machine away today pulled up, and I'm like, there's no fucking chance now. Like, I'm raging. I'm seeing him. At least we're down in Cartown. We can have a nice little day out on the beach or something. At least it wasn't just a complete waste of a day. And then I got a message off then later on that day saying that he offered 18 grand and then asked, like, if we offered 18 grand, she'd give it to us because we were there for. So we went, yeah, all right, grand. So 18 grand is what I got for.
So 18 grand for the truck. You will have to buy a vehicle to move it, let's say at least 15 grand.
What for the truck? No, like maybe seven grand.
Okay, let's say six.
Yeah.
So we're up at 24 grand. Parking space, £150 a month, which would have been 1,500 a year. That's not going to cut it. So you're probably going to spend, let's say, double that. 3 grand a year.
I wouldn't double it. Let's say 2 grand.
You're going to need 2 parking spaces. Let's say 2 grand. So we're up at, 26 grand.
26 grand. Then you have food. I haven't got a wrap yet, so I'm going to have to wrap it.
Is that expensive?
Do you know how... Fundamental question here. Do you know how to make...
Yeah, everyone does. But like, this is going to be top level. It's not just that. But that's the experience. You're buying me.
So
are
you going to be able to come in and record the podcast if you're cooking?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Is it going to be like the van where they have the day?
It's going to be like the van. Like, the van is going to end up in the sea, probably.
Probably, yeah. You know, when they're testing out the different chips in the van and they're all around the house and they're trying out the different chips. Is there going to be a day where you're trying out different mixes? And
yeah. Okay, going to be doing that next week.
Please invite us over for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'd love to try.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
So when are you planning to be standing, open up the shutter, lean out over the counter and say, we are open for business, come and get your...
I would like to be ready and operational...
After the live show.
At the live show.
Okay. That's going to complicate things for
me. April 6th. It gives you a deadline to work towards. Now, if you don't make that deadline, then... But there's no reason why we...
There is nowhere near Vicar Street big enough to fit that fucking thing.
There is. Do you know what I mean?
The flat's behind it, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Down that lane there. Down the lane at the back.
If you're the cook, do you have to have any sort of certificates for that? Like, can I just, like, go tomorrow, open up a food truck and, like, not be a qualified cook or chef and just... Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I had to think about
it. Especially just cooking in a gaff, but cooking in a food truck.
Yeah.
And how do you think your temperament matches up with the temperament required to run a food truck, let's say, extremely busy, maybe late at night dealing with a lot of people who are drunk or on other substances and may not be the most
there's messers everywhere.
There's messers.
I love it. I'll thrive in that.
So if a messer comes back and goes, stick your fucking...
I'd say I'll stick it up.
And pretty gaff wasn't funny.
I'll cry and I'll tow it away. I say, go away then. No, it'll be good. Like, this is, like, there is a lot of investment needed initially to get it going. But I believe once it's up and running and operational, it will make that money back very quickly. Maybe over the space of a weekend, 2 weekends.
In 2 weekends, you're going to make back 26 grand profit.
Yeah. If you're running for like four, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're making 5 grand a night. Profit.
Say so, yeah.
I'm thinking of opening a food truck.
Yeah.
Oh.
A competitor.
I thought it was
a spite food truck.
But yours is a spite truck.
Mine's an inspired truck.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm a great cook.
Yeah.
I'm a great cook.
What are you going to serve up?
A carbonara truck.
Oh.
Yeah. There's something in that, like, you know what I mean? It's cheap. Pasta
cheap as chips.
Eggs
chips.
Cheap.
Chips as well.
Chips. You could make an interesting pasta dish.
You could put carbonara on lots of stuff, including chips. Carbonara chips.
Carbonara pizza.
Oh, carbonara chips. Good up.
Carbonara.
Spaghetti and chips.
Bread roll.
Spaghetti and chips.
No, just the sauce just off stuff. The carbonara, yeah. And some bacon. Oh!
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Carbonara chips. Remember I had the idea for top chips. Just chips, that different toppings.
I'd go there.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one that was a... chicken skin chips. It's just the skin off fried chicken. But like chopped up bits, like sprinkled, kind of like.
A lot of waste.
A lot of, yeah, like the whole chicken. Get rid of the chicken.
No, but then you just use the chicken then for another top, like chicken topping.
Just sell chicken and chips.
You have to make
sell snack boxes, man.
You have to make
put the skin on the chips if you want.
You have to make a gourmet, man.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
The snack box crew.
Will I tell you off record?
Yeah.
And this will come out in the podcast, so off record. Actually, I'm giving it all away. But like, there's so much space in the market for food trucks. And there's businesses crying out for these units.
I'm a unit.
You're some unit, man. So Maura's parents found out. And I'm doing this venture with Maura's brother. So it's me and Maura's brother. And Maura's parents found out. And they were like, what the fuck are you doing? This is fucking ridiculous. And maybe it is ridiculous. But I don't think it is. But they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And this is just on the food trailer. We were looking at converting a fire truck at one stage. Like, we were looking at converting like big vehicles, like a bus. I know somebody who owns a double-decker bus.
And
like
you can sit in.
During COVID, that you can sit in, you know what I mean? I actually think it would be really good.
It's like breakfast in the sky in Finglas back in the day. That was just like a prefab in the sky on a crane.
What the fuck?
Outside the swimming pool.
That sounds terrifying. What the fuck?
It'd be on the ground.
Like David Blaine.
It'd be on the ground and then it'd go up into the air on a crane, a prefab, and you'd have your breakfast and it was called Breakfast in the Sky and it was in Finglas. I remember it when I was a kid. Did you ever see that?
Hang on.
Google it.
You go in it.
This is another one of them fucking moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like similar to the bear with the sweets.
Breakfast in the sky.
So was it like you'd go for the 10 o'clock breakfast sitting?
Yeah, yeah. Like it went up every hour or something.
So if you finish, you just have to wait till it brought you back down.
Yeah. Wow. My biggest thing with it was like, what if it shakes a little bit and you're having a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Mad. That's mad, isn't it?
I don't know if you're remembering that right.
I'm telling you now, breakfast in the sky.
Oh my God.
Is it there?
Yeah. You're not fucking messing. What the fuck? Like, that's literally a crane with a blue container in the sky.
Wow.
That is hilarious. That is so fucking funny, man. Did you ever go in it?
No.
It was a piece of art by a Japanese artist, Tatsuro Bashi. And it was, yeah, a fully operational cafe housed in a converted site cabin.
It was only there for a short time.
In Finglas. Suspended from a crane, which rises to a height 30 metres over the North Dublin suburb, allowing patrons to enjoy panoramic views of the city while enjoying some cafe refreshments.
Of the city.
It held 10 to 12 people, and each visit lasted about half an hour.
Breakfast in the sky. I'd love to do an ad for them.
Breakfast in the sky. How much was a breakfast?
I don't know. I was really young when that was there. I was still going to the swimming when I was saying that.
Do you remember there was loads of cows around? Do you remember the Jervis had a cow that was like covered in diamonds and everything like that?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
That was art, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was art.
It was outside an art gallery.
It was everywhere. There was one, I think there was one on Blade and O'Connell Street.
There was
one on fucking Grafton Street and all.
They were everywhere, yeah. So it was, what's it called, a cow parade, which is like an international art thing. I don't know.
Cow parade.
So they go to cities around the world, 75 cities around the world, including New York, Istanbul, Milan, places like that. Started in 99. I'm getting all this from Come Here To Me, Donald Fallon's blog. The largest and most successful public art event in the world is how it describes itself. Raised in excess of $30 million for charities worldwide. But in 2003, when they came to Dublin, the cows were put all around the city and soon after had to be moved from outside to inside because people kept vandalising them.
Yeah.
And even then, the ones that were inside were vandalised.
I used to sit on them and all.
Apparently it didn't happen in any other city.
Isn't there a bull in the Jervis Square out the back behind the church? Has that got something to do
in
with
the courtyard there?
In the courtyard there, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a statue. Alley. Yeah.
Yeah. Had a few cans there back in the day.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, a few cans.
At first, 10 cows were exhibited on the streets, and within days, all 10 had been vandalised. One cow was decapitated.
Isn't it?
Another had wings cut off it.
Wings?
Cow's
wings.
Yeah. There was a cow on Liffey Street, and they found the head of the cow outside Cleary's on O'Connell Street.
Why?
Like the Godfather.
They had planned to place 69 cows around streets of Dublin, but they abandoned that plan. Of the 69 that were placed indoors and outdoors, half of them were vandalised.
Jesus Christ.
But you can expect
that
to happen, though.
That's what's going to happen to your fuel truck.
Be vandalised.
They're going to chop it in half and you'll find half of it outside a gaff and half it.
They don't. Just leave me fuel truck alone, lads.
Yeah, don't be fucking doing that now.
Please.
You can't have an.
You can't fucking have an these days, can you? What was the walking one? Do you remember? I think it was around the same time. There was like a woman walking. It's outside the Hugh Lane Gallery now. And it's just like a woman walking.
The LED display.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that still going?
Yeah, yeah.
She must be bollocks now. Still walking.
You'd be wrecked after that.
I wonder how many steps she's taken. Should be a counter. Should be counting how many steps she's taken.
Do you miss the trick there not putting that in? Tell you. What else is that? The spire, that's good, isn't it?
That's shite as well, yeah. They're like, we make this really tall so they can't cut it in half. Ah, oh, it's too high.
Vandalise this, you cunts.
Do you remember Jake Stevens locked his bike to it?
Like it was with a massive chain, wasn't it?
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. I'm trying to think of what it is now. Art installations. Not really a thing anymore, is it? It's kind of like flash mobs. Remember flash mobs were a thing for a long time? Mother always said, if I was ever to propose to her, she wants it in flash mob form. Like she always wanted, she had this idea of me like going into a workspace where she worked, like our office or whatever, with a load of people, a big band, and like making a big event of a proposal.
A big Harlem shake.
Yeah. Big Harlem shake.
Remember that?
They were a big thing for a while, weren't they? The old flash mobs. This'll go viral. Do a flash mob on Grafton Street. Everyone just breaks into dance.
Do you ever see them videos of people disguised as bushes and stuff in Grafton Street, just scaring people? We'd end up throwing a box. Just saying, I'd get a fright and throw a dig.
I seen him. Like, I was walking past him with Marla, and he must have seen that he seen me. And I seen his mate record. Like, his mate is just, like, standing right in front of him with a phone recording it. And I seen him, and I was like, I'm waiting for him to fucking do something, and I'll give him a box. That's fucking brutal, that is. I feel like that shit's illegal. That's like assaulting someone in the street.
It's just some scare pranks.
Just a scare prank, bro.
God, get with the times. You need a bottle of Prime, bro.
I love pranks, but I feel like just giving someone a fright is like cruel.
Yeah, even frightening fucking Amy, I feel bad after doing that. Not like hiding around the house. Do you not do that? No, sorry.
I'm like a horse. Maura gave me a fright from behind before, and I swung my elbow around and I hit her.
Oh God!
Just like on instant, just a reaction like, oh, I was like, oh, so sorry. Like, but I'm like a horse, you know.
You don't tell us that.
Not the prayer.
No, everything all right.
You just don't approach from the rear.
Give you a boo.
Yeah.
Cock the leg. Yeah, later.
Speaking of vandalising things, a couple of others. You know, there's that statue in Fairview Park of Sean Russell.
Yeah.
He was an IRA volunteer, but he also had links to the Nazis. And over the years, that's been...
Decapitated.
It was decapitated. Someone covered it in rainbow colours. Someone cut the arm off it. It gets a hiding.
Luke Very Kelly good. Head as well.
The Luke Kelly one, yeah. That was interesting, what came out afterwards, why they were doing that.
There's a story.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't remember this, there was the Luke Kelly statue. There was two of them, but the big head was down at the end of Sheriff Street. And it kept getting...
Sprayed,
yeah, vandalised. Mm-hmm. And this just kept happening again and again. And this was a big story for a while. And then a few months later, some local group who were working on, I think it was drug debt intimidation and that in the area, something like that. Something to do with the drugs trade. They put out a report and they had been speaking to people in the area about it. And people told them, well, the reason that was happening was because the dealers on Sheriff Street were paying someone to go up and vandalise that so that the guards would turn the CCTV cameras towards the statue.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
That's what that was.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. Very clever. Very clever indeed.
The one over this side of town was vandalised as well, over at Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. That was vandalised once, but I don't... Maybe that was just a copycat.
That was paint, wasn't it? Someone threw paint over it.
Yeah.
I think someone done that for a dare. I think that was just someone who needed a few quid. I think that was a drug addict. Who
Quite possibly, yeah.
I feel like they're just like, sorry, Luke, I fucking love you, man. Miss you, bro. Love the music, but need the cameras to turn around. Boom.
That's mad about the fucking head, though. I had no fucking clue about that.
Did that never happen to Molly Malone? Statue.
Everyone keeps touching our tits.
Yeah. You're not supposed to do that, are you?
Well, yeah, it's only a statue.
All the tourists do.
All the tourists love doing that.
I love doing it as well. Huh?
It's up to you.
Do you ever see how shiny our tits are? Because everyone never just touches them, like.
Oh, because they're well polished.
Because they're just, like, everyone keeps touching them, yeah. There's a stone in Rome, and if you touch it, it's good luck. But because everyone's been touching it over the years, like, there's just a massive dip in it. It's over just time. Over just over time, like, you know, you touch it, it's mad.
It's like my couch. Just like...
People keep touching it.
Big ditch in it. There's a section of the couch that's just, like, brand new.
Mm.
That no one sits on. And then there's the other sections that are just like...
Just goes in.
Gone.
But you know what? If it fails, that's what life is all about. Isn't it?
Life is about... Failing.
Taking chances. I was in a place recently and we looked it up and I was like, oh, it's cool. Like, it has all geeky stuff in it. Like, it's all geek themed.
All right, like comics and stuff.
Comics and alien stuff, sci-fi stuff and Harry Potter and Lord of the Ringsy sort of all that. Just geeky shit, like, you know, which is cool. But your man just made it all himself. Like, the guy who owns the place, he just, like, made it all himself.
Made
the memorabilia and stuff, like.
Oh, it's not actual.
Ollie was saying, what's that on the wall? And I was like, oh, that's Wolverine's hand. But it was like very much just like a black rubber glove with like shit knives like just attached to it. Like, it's not like he bought the memorabilia, it's just like he made it himself. No, everything is cool, but it's just like self-made. A junior search project or something. But that sounds bad, but it's also part of the charm of it as well, like.
Yeah.
And he does themed, I was talking to him as well, like, and he does themed nights and everything. And the bathroom is supposed to be a brick wall that says platform 9 3/4, like from Harry Potter. So when you go through, it's like, oh, you went through to Hogwarts and stuff like that. But like, it's, you'd fucking love it, man. You'd love it.
I knew you were going to say that.
He has like an aquarium, but like he has predators like hidden in it and stuff. And there's a grandfather clock that he has. And he made this like Stranger Things, the spider or whatever, the hands, the stuff coming out of it. But it's like he made it himself, you know what I mean? And it's like cardboard cutouts of the Grinch and stuff that he just made himself. But it's great. I say it like it's kind of like, do you remember we were talking about the Willy Wonka experience?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that in a good way. in a sense that, like,
in a self-made way.
I want to fucking see that. And the food was actually nice, though. I haven't said that.
So do you remember we went to LA and we went into a Star Wars cafe?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was absolutely shite.
It was crap.
And yeah, it was a big ordeal about, like, turning your phone. Or what was it? You had to show a passport on entry and all this. And
well, they were checking our bags for guns.
Bags, yeah. For guns, which is probably, like, standard. But
probably fair
that didn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we went in and, like, nothing was Star Wars. Like, it looked a bit like Star Wars, but more like just, oh, this is some sort of weird space thing.
It was not, like, the staff were not Star Wars themed. There was no food. The drinks weren't Star Wars themed. It was just like, here's a bottle of Budweiser. Like, they didn't try to give it quirky names or do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they had cocktails, but they weren't serving them at that time. And, like, the cocktails...
And they weren't even called anything from Star Wars.
Yeah.
I recall. Maybe they were.
It was shit. And we left.
We left.
We left straight away, like...
And it was really like... Yeah, just scan that QR code on the table and
order.
Like,
yeah,
it was like forced and just not Star Wars.
Yeah.
I wanted to be greeted by fucking Obi-Wan or something, like Darth Vader walking around as a waiter. It wasn't happening.
It was passports as well. It was like, yeah, oh, I need to see your ID before you come in. I'm like, gee, we're over fucking 21, man.
I don't even think it was the case to see if you were of age, because he was asking older people as well for the ID. Oh,
and he was taking pictures of them.
Yeah, it was for your details, I think.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
Relax, mate.
Yeah.
You don't even have Jar Jar Binks in here.
But I wonder what the ownership's right is. Like, I wonder if...
I'd say, look, the cocktails, I don't think were called after Star Wars, so you're in the hub of fucking Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away with... Like, you might hear, like, Stormtrooper fucking martini or something, but over there, like, you're not getting away with that.
Or here. I don't think if you were to do that in Dublin, like, you couldn't. I'm shooting that short film at the end of this month, and there's a scene in it where someone's... at an after party singing Grace, the song Grace, oh Grace, just hold me in your arms. And I said, just to make sure, I emailed Imro to see how I could get copyright clearance. And Imro put me in touch with the two writers. They're in their 80s now, they're very old, Sean and Frank O'Mara. And then they put me in touch with a publishing label in London who, like, I went through a whole application to get clearance for the song. And Frank and Sean were like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, we're happy, but you'll just have to go through publishing. It shouldn't be a problem, though. And then the publishing got back to me today and said, I'm afraid the request has been declined by the writers. And I'm like, you fucking lying bastards. Like, I haven't responded now, but I will. I was talking to the writers and they didn't have a problem with it.
Does this feel like just a generic email that would go out to everyone who's looking to?
No, because it's a chain. Like, we've been back and forth about the whole thing, and they wanted to read the script, and they wanted descriptions of the scenes and how it will be used and how long it will be used for, and all of this bleeding bollocks ology. And I feel like, why did I even ask you? I'm just gonna fucking sing it. Like, why the fuck did I even ask you for permission?
Is there not a thing where you can do a cover?
No,
can't even do that.
No,
just do it.
Who's gonna come after me if someone's singing your song? How is that against the law?
Shouldn't be. It's a cover.
Shouldn't be.
Shouldn't,
right?
No.
Come after me.
Sue me. Sue me for my food truck.
They absolutely can sue you if they choose to.
I think that's a load of bollocks. Fucking don't be so precious. My God. Whatever.
Oppenheimer.
Fucking crap, man. I really do not get it. Really don't get it. I'm hooked on the Love on the Spectrum. On Netflix.
I haven't watched that.
You're hooked on it.
Good. So good. So sweet. They just have like a Disney idea of what love is, and they just 100% buy into it.
That's incredible. Nice.
It's lovely.
Mm. Yeah. I'll give it a watch.
Oh, you should.
No, you won't.
I might. I fucking might.
You won't.
I won't. No, but I might. That's it.
I won't, but I might.
What I might. Like, I'm not.
You don't watch anything we recommend.
Yeah, I watch everything you recommend.
You're a liar.
Name one thing I didn't watch you recommend. I don't say a book.
Right, I don't have anything to
see you later.
Dave, the TV show.
Yeah, Dave, the TV show.
Yeah, me whole. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
You didn't watch it, though.
Down at the Red Rose Cafe. That's in it, isn't it?
I watched Godfather 2 there a few nights ago. I hadn't seen that in years.
It's a good film, isn't it?
Godfather 2 is the best gangster film of all time. If not one of the best films of all time.
Godfather 2?
It or Godfather 1?
The best film.
Yeah.
Of all films, all genres.
All of them.
Nah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's up there, though.
Shawshank Redemption, I think, is considered the best film of all time, isn't it? Widely accepted.
Would you agree with that?
No, I think it's kind of boring. I don't think a good film necessarily needs to excite you, but I think it's just fucking, it's a man in jail and it's long and it's annoying.
The British Film Institute have a list that I think they update fairly regularly, but it's greatest films of all time. Let's see.
Schindler's List.
Mm. Definitely up there. Will we guess?
You're not getting these.
No.
No.
You don't.
A lot of them are not English.
Just before
Spirited Away.
Nope.
No.
Nope. There is, I think the number one is Japanese though.
The butterfly thing, the one of a butterfly, the papillon something.
Tell you what, there's the directors. They polled directors for their favourite films and they had a list of 100. Most of these would not be well known, but top three would.
And it's top one is Japanese?
No, this is a separate poll. This is the BFI again, but this is their director's poll. So the top three films...
City of God.
No, for the director's poll, the top three are all English language. When you get beyond that, there's French, Japanese, Italian, Russian.
Shawshank Redemption then. Redemption. No, nope. Not top three.
No.
The Godfather 2.
No.
Godfather 1.
That's number three.
Oh.
Two is better than one.
So there were two considered better than The Godfather.
Apocalypse Now.
No, that is, I did see it there. That's 18th.
The Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
No, I'm not seeing that here.
Jesus. Are the American films?
Godfather 2 is 26 on the list.
Ah.
The first two, yeah, they're both American films.
Forrest Gump.
Nope, they are not recent.
Oh, well then it's
Casablanca.
Nope. Once Upon a Time in the West is 46. That's ahead of The Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Oh, Jesus, not The Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
What's the two films then other than The Godfather?
All right, number two, Citizen Kane.
There was no Kane in Citizen Kane.
Thank you. Number one, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I was close to
Oh, you were
going to
say that way.
I was close to guessing that. I was thinking there's no way there's going to be a sci-fi film in there, for God's sake. But there you go. Number one is 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Did that come out in 2001?
No, it's fucking 70s or 60s.
Right. Shy.
Ah, it's great.
Money messing, never seen it.
Ba-ba-ba-boom, boom, boom. The music. Bum, bum.
Oh, is that where that's from?
Yeah.
Din, da, da, din, da, din, da, din, da, din.
Bum,
bum. Is that where that is originally from, or is that like an older song?
That's where it's from, yeah.
Empire Magazine. This might be more your speed. The 100 best movies.
Ah, fucking Star Wars and all that.
Yeah, I think it's a bit less art house.
Now you're talking. Babe 2.
I'll tell you, Groundhog Day has made the top 100 anyway. That's one of the first ones I've seen there. Groundhog Day, so.
It's a good fucking film.
With Bill Murray.
Into Spider-Verse.
That's a good film as well.
Is that in the top 10?
Top 100.
No, top 100.
Oh.
This is Empire Readers. So this is a public poll.
Well, that's us, isn't it?
The people.
Well, I don't read it.
I have every issue of that the last 10 years.
The Empire Strikes Back?
No, Empire Magazine.
What's your favourite issue?
I never bought one.
Just robbed them.
No, I've never read any of them. I've seen the covers are nice.
Goodfellas is number 10.
Ah, see? Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is number 9. Avengers Infinity War is number 8.
Shy.
Good. I don't think Avengers Infinity War deserves to be in the top 10 films of all
time. Of all time?
Definitely not.
No,
this is very much a reader's poll.
I'm with Scorsese on that one.
It's a bunch of film geeks, like 20-year-olds who, to them, don't appreciate good fucking shit, man. Avengers Endgame. Fuck off.
Sitting there in a fucking Jurassic Park t-shirt. Fuck off.
This is fucking deadly. This is, oh man, look. They're all, Captain America's dead. The bastard. Oh no, next film, he's grand. Sorry. He's live. He's unclicked his fingers. Spoilers. Number 8?
Number 8 was Avengers. 7 was Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
6 is Jaws.
Jesus, I wouldn't put that up there.
5 is The Shawshank.
Yeah.
4 is The Dark Knight. 3 is The Godfather. 2 is The Empire Strikes Back. And 1 is The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
That's a bad list. That's a shite list.
That's a crap.
That is a fucking...
That's a shocking list.
The readers of The Empire know nothing.
Fellowship of the Ring isn't even the best Lord of the Rings film.
The Dark Knight is not even the best Batman film.
That is.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Nothing happens for about 2 hours and then something happens for 10 minutes at the end.
What's a better Batman film than that? The Batman with Robert Pattinson?
No, I think that's boring as fuck as well.
The one with Bane?
Yeah.
Nah. No, I won't agree with you.
The Dark Knight is the first one, yeah?
The Joker. Heath Ledger. Batman Begins.
Oh, okay, I'm thinking of Batman Begins then, am I?
Liam Neeson, where they're on the train.
Yes. That is crap, isn't it?
Mm. Batman Begins. There was a big jump between Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
And The Dark Knight.
Big jump.
Yeah, I kind of like The Dark Knight then.
What do you think The Guardian voted as the best film of the 21st century?
Of the 24th century. Mm.
Shutter Island.
Nope.
Of the 24th century. So since 2000?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's got to be a Scorsese film or something. What did he bring out in the...
Oh, I don't think it's a film.
No.
Castaway?
No.
That was 98 or something, wasn't it?
It was a very famous acting performance.
Is it a Daniel Day-Lewis film?
It is.
Yay! Is it My Left Foot?
No, 2000.
Mm.
2000.
Fucking, yeah, I'm bleeding.
New York, that New York.
Yeah, Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
No, Gangs of New York. That wasn't that good.
Yeah, but I just thought.
There will be blood.
Ah, that's what, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Would you agree with that? As the best film of the 21st century?
No. I don't think so. Well, I don't know what else I say. Yeah,
I think Toy Story 4 was kind of good.
I still haven't seen Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, and I don't know whether to watch it with the kids or not. Have you watched that, Owen? Guillermo del Toro's one?
No, I have not seen that. Although only the other day I read Pinocchio to my kid the other night. It was like, I don't know, it was some real, you know, like kids' books. Obviously, like Pinocchio and those stories, they're not under copyright, so anyone can do their version of Pinocchio.
Yeah.
That's true.
A real piece of shit, this one.
Yeah.
It was like if someone started off with the best of intentions to write a good story for the first two pages and then just got real lazy and was like, yeah, and then he ended up, Geppetto was in a whale and he was turned into a donkey. But it just bounced through all the stuff and I was going, this is fucking mad, this
story.
It is,
yeah.
When you actually see it just page by page, because it just bounced between all the different weird things that happened to Pinocchio without giving a whole lot of context, because they really phoned this one in. I was like, this is such a weird story.
It's a pure fever dream, mad shit.
Yeah.
Like from the outset, a puppet that comes to life, first of all, a cricket that talks.
Mm-hmm.
Puppet comes to life. Two foxes rob the puppet.
Yep. The kids trick him to go to this land of toys or whatever, and then he turns into a donkey.
Pleasure Island.
Dodgy shit. Yeah, and he ends up inside a whale.
Twisted. They get twisted. But a lot of kids getting twisted on an island.
Wouldn't be reading that.
And smoking cigars.
You shouldn't be reading that to your kids, man.
I won't be reading it again. It was very boring. You got to know what you're picking to read the kids. Some of it's real shit. It really is.
Today, the day of this recording, is International Book Day. Did your kids have to get dressed up going to crash our school?
If they did, I've sent them in as the only kids not dressed up, if that happened.
Yeah.
So let's hope that wasn't supposed to.
You're going to get an embarrassing... I love that they print out the photographs on paper. You're going to get a badly printed paper photograph of your kids in crèche, and they're going to be the only ones not dressed up as a...
Sent them in as podcast producers.
It's too fucking much. And then Friday is Women's Day. Tomorrow is Women's Day. We don't have any purple shorts for Becca. And they were saying, can you bring them in a purple t-shirt?
Like, for fuck's sake. This is in the primary school.
This is in the crèche.
The crèche? The crèche are asking you to, come off it. You have enough going on without keeping up with their wardrobe routine.
And then you have a family breakfast day.
Fuck off.
Like, the whole point of crèche is that you mind our fucking kids. Take them off us. We have to go to work. And you want us to go in and have breakfast and all. Mad.
I wouldn't be having that now.
And then last week was a 2-2. I can't remember what that was about, but they wanted Becca to wear
international
to
2-2 day.
They wanted Becca to come in wearing a dress. I'm like, it's grand. So we didn't bring him in a 2-2, and he came out wearing a fucking 2-2. I don't know where he got the 2-2 from.
He really wanted a 2-2.
It's mad. And then it's a certain competitiveness as well, because some parents
has the best costume. Like,
some parents like create the costume and they create really elaborate costumes, and it's like, oh, you know, they put a lot of effort, like they put a whole week of arts and crafts into this. And then you have the likes of us that just like
costumeshop.ie either.
See what's left. Even that, you need to fucking wait a day. Like, this was, we found out last night that today was, you had to bring in a costume.
Did you get one?
Now actually I feel more prepared because Owen didn't bring his in and any, so
I don't think they do that I think our crèche is run by quite reasonable people.
That is reasonable then.
That seems outrageous.
Yeah.
I'd be
Amy doesn't have that in her crèche today.
Maybe it's the school. Maybe it's just school, and because the school was doing it, more just picked one up for Becca. But they do a lot of stuff in crèche, like, oh, bring in a, they done a bluey. But not the
Blueies.
They don't
be Blueies, at that.
Man. All the kids were on Blueies.
Bluey
is the cartoon.
Okay.
It's what's an that? Australian
for?
Dog.
An Australian dog, yeah.
Paw Patrol, great, is it?
Cartoon.
It's the
or
best
is it
cartoon.
Bluey? Is Bluey the thing? Oh, not Paw Patrol. Okay.
No.
Bluey is a far more sophisticated piece of artistic work than Paw Patrol.
Is that a character in a show or is it just called Bluey?
It's called Bluey, but okay. Bluey is
in the main character. Yeah. But there's lots of different dogs in it, so you had to bring in a white t-shirt so they'd draw all over it, like, you know, destroy the fucking t-shirt, and you're like, oh, I have to bring this in. They're just always doing something that you have to bring, like, prepare stuff for, and I'm like, I just want to send them in,
just mind them with you and I'll collect them,
just fucking feed them, water them and give them back to me. Like, what's your favourite character from a book? I don't think they have favourite characters from books at that stage, do they? So more addressed them as Peter Pan, and I'm like, I don't think Peter Pan's even a book.
It is Peter a book, Pan, yeah. Book,
is it? Yeah,
but does Beckett read it?
No, Beckett can't read. Ollie can't even read.
Does he like one of you reading Peter Pan to him?
We don't have Peter Pan. It was just the only, it was the only outfit left in Tesco. It was the only outfit that there was.
No one ever read me a story when I was a kid, ever.
No.
Did you read a story to you?
I think my dad used to like reading, yeah.
Did he?
I learned how to read very early. Yeah. I was good with words.
My ma used to just like get the videotapes of it and just like watch that.
Yeah.
Just watch it like on one of them TVs with the VHS built into it. Better than reading. That's probably why I don't read books.
Better than reading. On International Book Day. In honour of International Book Day, I'd like to just give an honourable mention to Katrina O'Sullivan's book, Poor. I know I did already online and stuff like that, but that's a fucking phenomenal book. Phenomenal story. Easy to read if you ever...
What's it about?
It's about her life. Her life growing up. Like, her parents were drug addicts living in the UK, and she went through a lot of trauma and horrible, horrible stuff growing up in her childhood. She had a child very early. Her parents moved back to Ireland. Eventually she moved back, still struggled herself with addiction and alcohol and stuff like that, until she finally kind of, she always wanted better for herself. And then she got into the Trinity Access program, and she talks about that journey as well, like as a girl from working class Dublin 1, going through the Trinity Access program.
Mm.
And there's one part in it, I just want to talk about this one part real quick. She's a lecturer now, and she still deals with the discrimination that working class people have to put up with. And she's a lecturer, so she was putting all the chairs out in our classroom to get ready for the class. And one of our students was already in there. And she didn't know that she was the lecturer. And she turned around and said, "Oh, sorry, there's actually a class going on here now. You're not allowed to be here." And she's like, "What are you talking about? I'm your lecturer." And she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Just because, like, she's working class. And that's, like, what she kind of... I feel like I'm telling her story and I'm probably not doing it justice, but like, it's just an example of the kind of outlook that people have of working class people. Don't want to get too fucking serious on the podcast or anything either, but it's just really interesting, really fucking interesting book, man. Did you read it?
No, I'd like to. She was on Talking Bollocks though last year.
Yeah.
So to hear her telling her own words.
Yeah.
You
can
listen to that. But yeah, that book won every award going.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Like, I remember the first book that I fucking loved. Well, the first book that I loved was Angela's Ashes. The one after that was Ma, He Sold Me for a Packet of Cigarettes. Do you remember that?
It rings a bell, but I didn't read it.
Similar story about it. But this was different because she's like not much older than us. And she's talking about the area. And like, it's always weird when you watch a TV show and you see your area, or you're reading a book and she's talking about, like, she lived on Buckingham Street and she went to Sherrard Street and stuff in the AA meetings. And my dad went to Sherrard Street AA meetings. So my dad probably knew her. And it's just this kind of, like, crossing of the worlds. It's just really interesting. I love it. I thought it was very good. In honour of International Book Day.
Well, no better moment to mention it.
Yeah.
Other than on International Book Day. So mine was Goosebumps.
I loved Goosebumps as well, man. Nothing wrong with Goosebumps.
Yeah. Goosebumps was for me now. Yeah.
Fucking love it.
Although I did like the TV show more.
You should read The Shining.
Ooh. Oh, jeez.
Or you should rephrase that.
How are you going to fucking... He hasn't read anything.
You should rephrase that. I was just going to say, you should rephrase that to... you should read a book in general.
Okay. You should read a book. Yeah, well, we tried to get you to read The Road and you had no interest.
Mm.
But The Shining, because you loved that film so much, and just when you mentioned Goosebumps there, it popped into my head because I think I've mentioned this before. It's the only book that properly scared me.
Mm.
It's brilliant. And if you like The Shining, there are some slight differences. It's a lump hammer, not an axe. And little things like that.
Hmm.
It's good though. Yeah.
You gonna do it?
Yeah, no, I actually will, yeah. I'll definitely read that.
Ah, come on.
No, I think...
Speaking of Pinocchio.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're talking about it, I can picture myself going to Easton's and buying it, like...
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Stala podcast. You're absolute sweethearts and darlings. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
You're an absolute doll.
An absolute diamond.
Starlight.
Your little diamond Starlight. Bingo. Your diamond bingo, yeah, your little scratch card. You're a little scratchy.
Did you hear the voice message? Remember the voice message from the posh people that were doing the Kosamui?
Kosamui, yeah.
Did you hear the Chessmaster one?
I don't think so. Maybe. When was that? Is this a new one?
I feel like, can we just end this episode with the Chessmaster voice message? And then, like, this is a gift from me to you.
Yep.
I'm all right with that.
Talk to us next week. Get your tickets for the live show and we'll leave you with this.
Right, so going for a drink this random bar in New York, and I'm at the bar and I'm trying to get an order in, and this other fella like settling his bill, and I hear him chatting to the barman who's also Irish, and he says something, "Can say it?" So I'm like, "Oh, go over," and I'm like, "Oh, free machine, like whatever, chatting away to him. And I get chatting away, like whatever, talking to him, trying to work out what year he's in. He thinks he's in 2010 and like names a load of people I've never heard of. And then I'm like, yeah, man, what age are you? And he's like, oh, 34, 35. And I was like, oh, grand, you weren't in that year. You must have been like 2005, 2006. Anyway, we're saying goodbye. And I go like, yeah, what's your name? He goes, Jonathan. Jonathan Wise. And I'm like, no fucking way. As in Jonathan Wisey Wise from the dream team of 05 Gonzaga Chess Millfield Champions. And he goes, fucking yes. I go like, before he can even like respond, I'm like, Thomas the Chess Engine, Dave Colley Collier, Pain and Sorrow John McMorrow, Killian the Butcher Baku O'Carroll, and he knows them all. And he was like, yeah, I finally told him the story that we've like built up about like the dream team of 06. And another, I've never found anything funnier in my life.